We now begin a whole new Masechta. This is Maseches Bava Kama. And the truth is, it's not just a new Masechta, it's a new Seder of Mishnayos. It's the fourth of the six Dharm. It's the Seder of Nezikin. And therefore, I want to do a quick introduction to the Seder itself as well. Seder Nezikin is the halachas that govern the Torah's view of establishing a just society. And that's really a mouthful. Now, I think those who live in Western societies think of just societies being predicated on ensuring people have their rights protected, but really the Torah's focus is not on individuals protecting their rights, but rather on the obligation of the individual to ensure that he is responsible for his actions, for his property, and to act, you know, justly and righteously. So that's the focal point of Seder Nezikin. As we have it today, it's 10 separate Masechtas. Originally, there were fewer. I'll explain that in a moment. All those Masechtas essentially have both a Yerushalmi and a Bavli on them, with two exceptions, which I'll explain in a moment as well. The first Masechta, Bava Kama, which is our Masechta, means the first gate, which is a funny name, given that the second Masechta is called Bava Matzia, the middle gate, and the third, Bava Basra, the final gate. And the reason why those are called by those names is because originally there was one Masechta called Maseches Nezikin, the tractate on damages, which was 30 prakim long, which was later divided up into three sub-masechtas, each of 10 prakim, which is how we have it today. So you have first Bava Kama, our masechta, and that really deals with damages that can be inflicted on another person's property or his person. And I'll go through the masechta a little more in detail later on. Then you have Bava Matzia, the next 10 prakim, and that deals with other kinds of financial obligations that arise not necessarily from damage, but other kind of commercial activities, such as employment law, or if you are contesting who owns an object, or if you find something, your obligations to do Hashavas Aveda and return the object. There are rules about onah, like improper business exploitation, ribis, charging interest, as well as rules over employment, such as, you know, different kinds of employment contracts like kablonos, arisos, chakira, and so on, and finally the rules of a mashkon, deposits and that kind of thing. Then the third is Bava Basra, which deals primarily with real estate law and partnership law, and then at the end it also has the laws that apply to Yerusha inheritance, as well as contract law, the actual rules for establishing and writing, drafting Ashtaros contracts under Jewish law. So those three together are basically the primary repository of all of Jewish civil law, the halachas as they govern, torts and the like. Then you have the next two masechtas, which are Sanhedrin and Makos, which also originally were ostensibly one large masechta, broken up into two today. Sanhedrin deals with the laws as applied to judges and rulers, governments, kings, as well as capital punishment. So Mises Bezdin, the four ways in which a person could be executed by the courts. And then Makos, which again literally means lashes, deals with also Malkus, the actual administration, corporal punishment, lashes, which is sort of the primary way in which people who break mitzvahs lo sase get punished under whatever circumstances. But Makos also deals with some other topics, including the halachas regarding edim, witnesses who testify before a court, edim zomin, this unusual case of conspiring witnesses, and also this topic of gullus, where a person who murders accidentally under certain circumstances ends up being exiled to one of these Aryeh Miklat and the like. So those two together are Sanhedrin and Makos. So those are the first five. Then you have Shavuos, which is to do with oaths. That means an administration of oaths in a Jewish court of law under certain circumstances, when people are fighting and the like. Then you have So those six all have Bavli and Yerushalmi, like I said before. The next is Maseches Edios. Maseches Edios, which means testimonies, it's really a hodgepodge of halachas where people had a specific tradition which they testified in front of the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin, during the period when Rabbi Gamliel, who had become the Nasi immediately after the Chorban of Bayesheni, was temporarily replaced by Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and they opened up the doors to the Beis HaMidrash, and people from all over, the Jewish people, would testified Bo Bayom at that time on regarding various traditions they had. So those traditions are recorded in Edios. There is not a Bavli or Yishalmi on Maseches Edios. Then you have Maseches Avodah Zarah, which deals with the laws pertaining to idolatry and the prohibitions against it and the proscriptions against things that were used for idolatrous purposes and so on, as well as and the like. So the reason why it's featuring over here in Nezikin is because Avodah Zarah is a capital crime, which needs to be carried out by a Sanhedrin, and that being the case, it comes here in Nezikin. There is a Bavli and Yerushalmi both on Avodah Zarah. Then you have Maseches Avos. Maseches Avos, there's no Bavli and Yerushalmi, but I think it's very familiar to us all. It really is the ethical principles that originate from Har Sinai, but that were amplified and spoken out by various, and sort of exemplified by various Tanaim. So it sets forth the entire Jewish worldview in terms of ethical behavior, how one ought to live his life, as opposed to just specific do's and don'ts, much larger issues. And of course, if you frame Nezikin as the Torah's recipe for establishing a just society, so then Avos certainly ostensibly comes first and foremost as a topic. Others talk about why Avos is in this in Seder Nezikin. They suggest, for example, that the Dayanim, the Jewish leadership, should exemplify good ethical behavior, therefore belongs here, but to me it fits in a much more bigger picture. And then finally, Horios. Horios, the final Masech, the 10th, is got to do with, means rulings, and it has to do with the very unusual cases of, you have a Sanhedrin which rules erroneously and then essentially backtracks, and there's scenarios in which if they permitted the Klal Yisrael to do certain things which they later said were forbidden, and those things carried the penalty of Karas, so then there's a special carbon to be brought. And also we talk about mistakes, not just for Sanhedrin, but also mistaken rulings that were given by a king or by a Kohen Gadol in certain circumstances, and the procedures that are followed in those cases. And that last point, just worth speaking out, I know there's just an essential point here, which is that you see from this that even the Sanhedrin, with all of the Siyad Shemaya they have, and they have Acharav Lahatos, and they have a mandate from a Pasuk, and they're authorized, are fallible. They can make mistakes too. And that's really important, and that really is certainly a necessary thing to keep in mind in terms of the context of the establishment of just society. People can make mistakes, even the Gedolei Hador, even the greatest of the great, with all the Siyat HaShemayim that comes with being part of Sanhedrin. Okay, so there's a recipe for how to right those wrongs. So those are the 10 Masechtas. Like so many times, we ask again, like, why is that the structure of the whole Seder? It seems a little bit hard to follow. So again, the Rambam and the Meiri both give rationalizations, they give explanations as they go through, rationales why it follows that. I'm very comfortable with the basic notion, which is that, like, essentially all of the Starm just goes in descending number of prakim in each Masechta, meaning originally Nezikim was 30 prakim, Sukkim was first, then Sanhedrin Makos together 15 prakim came second, and then in decreasing order you have, you know, Shavuos, Edios, Avodah Zarah, Avos, and Horios in that order, as there are fewer and fewer prakim going down, and that's why, for example, Avos comes sort of at the end, even though, you know, conceptually maybe it would have come first. So that's the structure of the whole Seder, and it's, you know, basic overview of its contents. The first hour, Masechta Bava Kama, the first gate, like I said, deals primarily with damages to people's property, but more specifically now, let me just go through the structure, and then we'll end, and we'll go in the next recording, the first Mishnah, give an overview of the categories of damage. So, the first six prakim deal with nizke mamon. That means if a person has property and it causes damage to another person or his property, how to deal with that. So that's the first six chapters. The seventh chapter deals with the penalty payments that come along with geneva, when a person steals. So in addition to just having to return the thing he stole, there's also a penalty. Typically, it's called kefal. You pay, you know,
a double payment, the extra payments. Once they go, you know, you pay, if you stole 100, you pay back 200. The extra 100 is for the, it's like a penalty. But there's certain scenarios where if you steal, like, essentially a sheep or a cow, so you would pay arba v'chamisha 4 or 5 times. The details of that will be there in the 7th perek. Then you have the 8th perek, which deals with chabala. So in other words, that is when a person causes damage to another person. The first 6 prakim we're dealing with damage to property that's caused by one. I should say, no, I'm sorry. The first 6 prakim are damage caused by one's property. But here in the eighth chapter, Perek Ches, it's if a person himself with his own hand, you know, harms another person. So it's punching him in the nose as opposed to breaking his window. And then finally, the last two chapters 9 and 10 deal with Dine Gazela, the halachas of robbery, in contrast to simple Geneva, which is Geneva, sort of surreptitious, secretive stealing of things, you know, pickpocketing and in the night going out and stealing stuff from someone's house, whereas Gazela, robbery, is taken by force in the open, which has different halachas. Okay, so that's the basic overview of the Masechta and why it's called what it's called, etc. And then we'll start the first Mishnah, where I'll explain the principles behind Nezikin in the Torah.